When Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez and those two other generals testify today, they may be asked what they knew about the abuse and when. The Red Cross says it tried to inform commanders what was happening, but the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal report that military officials treated that report skeptically. The Journal's military correspondent is Greg Jaffe, who's on the line this morning. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Now, we've already heard about a Red Cross report in February of this year, but your reporting talks about some Red Cross information that was passed on much earlier.
Yeah, it was passed in November. The Red Cross toured Abu Ghraib in October. It was one of several visits, but it was a particularly alarming visit for them. They filed a harshly worded report in early November that apparently made its way to Sanchez's top legal advisor and his deputy commander.
When you say a harshly worded report, what did it say?
Well, they noticed prisoners being held naked in total darkness. They received reports of prisoners being forced to walk around in women's underwear and parade around naked with women's underwear on their head, things that they found disturbing enough at the time to cut off the tour and complain to the officer in the cell block.
And so this report went to some of the highest people in Iraq, went to deputies of General Sanchez himself. What was the response?
Well, they held a meeting to discuss how to respond to it and brought in General Karpinski, who was oversaw the MPs. And they didn't seem to take it seriously. In fact, the two officers who attended the meetings told us that the military intelligence biggest concern was how do we restrict the Red Cross's access to these sensitive cell blocks where we're doing sensitive interrogations and they don't have the proper security clearances.
They raised that issue? Did they actually try to restrict the Red Cross then?
You know, my understanding is that the military the military lawyers there beat them back and say, we said basically we have a treaty obligation to allow these people in. But still, no one seemed to take the allegations that the Red Cross was making seriously, and the people I talked to who attended those meetings said that they just didn't believe them. They didn't believe that that could be possible.
Particularly, your reporting suggests they had trouble believing the allegations of sexual humiliation. There was a line in the Red Cross report about men being forced to put women's underwear on their heads in the response to that.
Yeah, I think they just believed, look, detainees make things up, and these people are too willing to believe detainees instead of our soldiers. And it just shows the lack of oversight and, I guess, real understanding of what was going on in that cell block.
And then when did that begin to change?
Well, I think it didn't change until the pictures surfaced, which was January 13th. And then at that point, they had incontrovertible evidence that these things were going on, and I think that forced them to act. And they moved very quickly after that. But it took 2 months of Red Cross warnings before the pictures surfaced and before they really began an investigation.
Now, there's another important distinction here, Greg. We can say that they just didn't quite believe that this was happening, didn't quite take it seriously, but then the allegation could also be made. The question is certainly being raised as to whether some senior military officers were condoning this behavior deliberately. I could read your report and see evidence or suggestions of either of those theories. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to know. I mean, my gut, talking to people who I felt like didn't have an agenda, was that they were legitimately surprised by what had happened and just couldn't conceive that these Red Cross reports could possibly be true and felt like detainees were making things up, detainees were lying.
If that was the case, why were they trying to restrict the Red Cross access to the prison?
Well, they say it was interfering with what they were trying to do, and this is where it gets a little sticky. They said things like, for example, I was told that they were trying to isolate prisoners in dark cells for long periods of time, you know, up to 72 hours, if not more. And they said, you know, they didn't want ICRC people coming in and talking to the prisoners because it disrupted the isolation.
Okay.
They say in other instances they were interrogating them and the ICRC questions would disrupt the interrogations. And they said they wanted to restrict access because of that. They were also concerned about security clearances.
Greg, thanks very much.
Sure.
Greg Jaffe is a reporter for the Wall Street Journal.